Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to besteverhow.com.
Be the best version of yourself. Work on yourself. Work on that inner game that goes on inside you every day, because that's your biggest competition.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best Ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and I'm here with Ben Reinberg. Ben is joining us from Newport Beach, California. He's the CEO of Alliance Consolidated Group, which raises capital from accredited investors. He has a history of acquiring office, industrial, and retail properties. His current emphasis is on medical and veterinary real estate. They currently have a portfolio of over $500 million in assets under management. Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're currently focused on?
Well, Slocum, thank you very much for having me. It's such a privilege to spend some time with you and talk commercial real estate. There's nothing better in the world from an asset class than commercial real estate. So it's something that I love and that I've spent almost 30 years doing. I started this company when I was a young man. I built millions of square feet of office and industrial in my career. I'm an office, industrial, and retail expert. We've bought and sold hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of real estate. We currently have about $500 million. That's going to grow significantly into the billions shortly over the next 3 years. And what we do now is we own and manage our own portfolio of medical and veterinary properties throughout the United States. So that's a little background on me. I started when I was in my early 20s. Slocum, I'm now 53 years old. I'm still a young guy, and I've changed a lot. And my leadership team is outstanding. They have 200 plus years of experience in commercial real estate. So I'm very fortunate. I have wonderful people that work for me, and they inspire me and help me grow as a person. And just really love what I do. And I think I have another 30 years left in me.
Nice. Your bio begs a few questions, but the first one I want to ask is, why focus now on medical and veterinary real estate?
Well, I don't know if it's a now equation. I think it's more of 18 years ago, we took a step back and we took a look at what was going on in the market. And then the recession was looming 4 or 5 years later. And we looked at and we said, what can we do to produce consistent cash flow and provide upside to our investors? And one of my slogans is the human body is never going out of style. And when the human body is never going out of style, what tends to that? Medical. And that's when we started. So we started with various tenants, buying, developing, et cetera, and had tremendous success. And we carried that through the day. 4 years ago, a colleague of mine called me and said, Ben, you really should look at the veterinarian space. It's growing. A lot of households are having pets in their household. It makes a lot of sense. So we got into that business and it's been wildly successful as well. And today, as we speak, we continue. We just launched a brand new $50 million equity fund for medical and veterinary properties. We're probably going to grow that to $100 million. And then we're probably going to look at opening up an industrial fund since we have a lot of industrial experience as well. So a lot of great things happening at Alliance Consolidated, my company, and I'm really excited. We're adding new employees. We're doubling down on investments and just really excited for this year and the future.
Nice. So it was pre-Great Recession that you guys decided to focus on medical, and then veterinary came along. And there, I'm sure, are some natural corollaries between the two. Human body is never going out of style. Can you put some numbers behind why that focus made sense? Is it because picking one particular niche made it easier to own or operate such a large portfolio? Or is it simply that you saw that niche outperforming the other ones available to you?
Well, we picked that niche a long time ago because we saw opportunities. We knew that people are going to need medical services. The government was talking about more looking at a plan like they have in Canada, socialized medicine at the time. And we looked at it and said, there's a real opportunity. There's a little turbulence and chaos in the market and medical office space when we started. And look, over time, now it's the hottest asset class in probably in the world, but especially in the United States. So we just kind of saw the trend and said, this is a good niche for us to look into. Our tenants have a large retention rate of staying at the property, which is great. It provides stability and cash flow. And we create upside through our expertise.
Tell us about that expertise. What does it take to specialize in medical and veterinary? Are there high barriers to entry? And I don't just mean capital-wise, I mean operationally, what are the barriers to entry to that real estate?
Yeah, just to get into the real estate general scope is that every niche in the medical space has different licensing laws, different metrics of how a tenant's performing. So you really have to dig into the business. It's not just the real estate that we underwrite. It's also underwriting each business that's within the property.
Ben, I want to ask about your underwriting expertise here. Let me phrase that question this way. I'm an apartment investor. The majority of our listeners are involved in apartment investing in some scale. So we know how to underwrite a property. We may not understand how to underwrite a business that is operating out of our real estate. What advice do you have for me if I decide it's time to jump into medical and veterinary real estate when it comes to underwriting businesses and underwriting the real estate?
Well, you need to understand financial statements. That's critical. You need to look at historical financial statements of every tenant. Once you understand a P&L and balance sheet and the different ratios and metrics that create success in a business, that's when you can really start honing in on an asset class like this. Just like anything, it's the same thing with industrial. You got to understand the financial statements. So it's no different.
Specific to the medical industry, what sets apart the way that you read those income statements and balance sheets from the way that you would for other businesses?
Well, like any other business, it's pretty comparable, Slocum. It's I look at liabilities. I look at what type of retained earnings they have in the company. I look at historical trends in revenue and what their expenses are. I look at their payroll. I look at historically, was there any growth? Did they take on more debt because they invested in more equipment? So we look at all the respective line items on a income statement, and then we look at the balance sheet. We see what's going on. What kind of reserves they have, what has been their performance historically over 3 to 5 years.
This is all with regards to vetting your tenants.
Yeah. Also, it gives you the ability to assess risk and how you price your investments.
What about the real estate itself? You mentioned all of your construction experience. Do you always build new, or are you retrofitting buildings to meet the needs of medical and veterinary tenants, or are they doing that themselves?
It runs across the board. We buy existing assets. Sometimes we'll build. Sometimes we'll retrofit. We call it doing a build out. We might reconfigure a building. We might add space to a building. We do all the above. We're like a 7-tool player in my company.
Ben, I've personally acquired some fairly niche real estate a few times, and I have some friends here in Cincinnati who've acquired niche real estate as well. Former elementary schools, churches, warehouses that were all going to need to be repurposed in order to be viable commercial real estate for some business to rent, or in order to turn around and sell that to an owner operator out of their space. Mm-hmm. I'm asking this question because I've heard a variety of answers along the way. When you find an opportunity, whether it is real estate that you can redevelop, tear down and rebuild, or something that you can retrofit, when you are doing your due diligence on specifically the real estate, at what point are you looking to find your ideal tenant? Put another way, when you're acquiring real estate for the sake of tenanting with medical or veterinary purposes, are you getting the tenant first and then looking for the real estate? Are you using your due diligence process to also vet tenants? Are you waiting until you've closed and then building out to the specifications of a new tenant you'll go and find after you close? Within the acquisition of the real estate and the acquisition of the tenant, how do those things meld?
Well, to me, it's just really straightforward. We can do all of the above, but generally speaking, we'll buy an existing asset, especially for our new fund we just launched. We're buying existing assets. If we need to do some work, we will. But generally, there's tenants in there. There might be a vacancy. So most of our buildings are medical buildings where the tenants are already in place. Maybe there's some leasing that needs to be done. So if we do have a vacancy and we need a retrofit or do some build out, we will accordingly to customize to that particular tenant's needs that's coming in.
How much of your real estate is single tenant and how much is multi-tenant?
I don't know the exact ratio. That's a tough one, but we have a mix of both.
Gotcha. I was envisioning, of course, my industry not being yours, Ben. I was envisioning almost exclusively single tenant space. What do the multi-tenant spaces look like?
What we do is anything that you and your family would go to for medical services, that's what we own. So those are the uses in the property that we own and that you expect that we'll buy within our new fund. You'll have the ability to see a wide variety of different uses in the medical office space and the veterinary office space.
We'll get back to the show with first some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. Are you a real estate investor looking to break into the multifamily investing space? Have you heard of MFINCon happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, June 12th through the 14th? The Multifamily Investor Nation Convention is a place to learn from over 60 high-level apartment investors while networking with more than 700 additional investors. If that's not enough for you, A-Rod, yep, Alex Rodriguez, 12-time Major League Baseball All-Star with over $700 million of commercial real estate assets, will be live and in person speaking at the event. Also speaking is the one and only Dr. Robert Cialdini, the godfather of influence and the award-winning author. I personally love his books. So be sure to secure your tickets to this live in-person event before they're gone. Go to mfincon.com for more details. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Visit mfincon.com today. Use the promo code BESTEVER to get $200 off your tickets. That's mfincon.com. Deciding how to invest your capital is more challenging than ever. That's why it's never been more important to partner with a company with a solid track record and that has thrived through various economic cycles. Companies like BAM Capital. BAM Capital is a trusted multifamily syndicator that has delivered a historical average of over 35% IRR with an average hold period of 3.5 years. BAM Capital has never missed a preferred payment, never lost an LP's investment, and never called capital past the subscription amount. BAM Capital is currently raising capital for a fund designed for accredited investors, targeting a 15 to 20% IRR and a 2 to 2.5x equity multiple to its investors over a 3 to 5 year hold period. If you're an accredited investor and you want to learn more about multifamily investment opportunities with BAM Capital, visit capital.thebamcompanies.com. Again, that's capital.thebamcompanies.com.
Transitioning the conversation a bit here, Ben, I know that you have acquired through syndications and funds. Are you targeting a defined hold period, like 5 years? Are you targeting an indefinite hold period when you acquire?
Yeah, generally speaking, we, like our funds, for example, or even our syndications, we look to be in and out of investment within 5 years.
Within 5 years. Mm-hmm. So speaking globally, not specifically to your investors, but globally, is there a targeted IRR or equity multiple then that you're shooting for?
Well, generally speaking, across all the asset classes, we're probably the upper 20s in our career, which is spectacular. In medical office, we've averaged mid-20s IRR in our career. And with the new fund that we just launched, and if any of your listeners want to invest in our new fund, feel free to reach out to us. We believe we're going to be probably somewhere between upper teens and low 20s on an IRR basis at the end of the day. And that could increase too with what we're seeing in the market because there's a lot of buying opportunities that are going to be forthcoming.
We're wrapping up the first quarter of 2023 at the time of this recording, and you are setting up a fund now. What are the trends that you're seeing in your industry when it comes to transactions, sales right now? And where and what is it that you are targeting specific to 2023? Are there particular metro areas, and why would it be those metro areas? Are you more focused on suburban, rural, urban, et cetera?
To answer your question, our fund is set up. We have equity already pouring in. We've already acquired assets within the fund. As we expand, we find a lot of off-market opportunities. We invest, Slocum, in what I call the smile states. If you drew a smiley face from Virginia all the way down, and then there's other states as well, Mountain West, parts of the West Coast, we invest in as well. So we invest in a lot of the Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, South, and Southwest throughout the United States.
The smile states, that makes a lot of sense. Ben, within those smile metro areas, what locations most excite you? And then what property types or property sizes most excite you from an acquisitions perspective?
Well, we look at 50,000 people in a 5-mile radius. We look for population growth. We look for good healthcare policy markets. And we look at certain metrics that meets our needs, especially for this new fund. So when we look in these areas of the country, like the South, this is where population growth, and population growth is great because it creates job growth, which is great for the medical office industry, as well as the other asset classes in commercial real estate.
So is it really just about how many people live within a 5-mile radius? Or are you looking for higher income, higher net worth areas? Would you call it suburban? Are you more focused on more densely populated urban areas?
It just depends. It could be in the suburbs. It could be in the city, which is urban. And it depends on the asset class. Every deal stands on its own. So the reason why the 50,000-mile population radius and 5-mile radius is important, because we look for density. We want to make sure there's enough patients, there's enough demand for services that will help our properties thrive, Slocum.
And then what about property size? Do you have a particular target? I'm envisioning a standalone dental practice or an orthopedic surgery facility that could be 1 to 200,000 square feet. Are your acquisitions right now running the whole gamut, or are they focusing larger, smaller?
Well, we look to diversify, especially with this new fund. We're going to diversify. So generally speaking, you look at buildings that are 7,000 square feet and up minimums. And that's generally the spot we play in. So usually the purchase prices range from $3 to $30 million per acquisition.
Last question here, Ben, before we transition the episode. Ben, going back to treating me as if I were going to be brand new to your industry, let's say I've found a property that is fairly well suited to house a variety of niches within the medical space. Does it make sense for me as the real estate investor to be looking for someone who serves a niche that is not currently being served in the area? Or does it make sense for me to bring in something very similar, if not the same, as another competitor in the area? Someone or a practice that focuses on a particular kind of surgery, for example, is it better to be the only show in town, or is it better to be part of a cluster of practices that are providing the same type of service? Part of the reason I ask, Ben, is that if you look at Cincinnati from a geographic perspective, a lot of our hospitals are clustered in the middle of town. So within the 5-mile radius that you were mentioning, I could name 8 hospitals if you're looking at Uptown or the Clifton area. And then you end up going almost out into the suburbs in every direction before you find another hospital, because they're all clustered. And then all of the medical services surrounding those hospitals are clustered there as well. Would it be better for me to be looking for medical real estate there close to all of the hospitals where all of the other medical real estate is? Or should I be looking at a place that from a geographic perspective is underserved with medical real estate? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, let me just take a stab at it. So we buy stuff near a hospital, on hospital campus, as well as off hospital campus. Slocum, it just depends on the need, the demand, and the supply. It's all based on economics. And when you have tenants that serve a purpose in the community, that's what we look for, tenants that can build deep roots or have deep roots in each of their respective communities.
What are the biggest mistakes that you've seen investors make when acquiring medical and veterinary real estate early on?
That's a great question. There's a lot of reasons. It's not having enough reserves, not underwriting the tenant properly, not understanding the dynamic of the physician group, if it's a physician group. It's really just not underwriting it properly and doing this respective due diligence. Now, anything can happen in a deal. Things can change and change instantly at times. Partnership disagreements, you name it. But at the end of the day, you got to really dig in and do some deep dive underwriting and due diligence on each of your investments.
That makes a lot of sense. Ben, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'm ready.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
I am reading right now The Power of One More by Ed Milet. I think that's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I'm in the middle of it right now. I really enjoy it.
I read it recently, actually, and I've been listening to his podcast as well. Ben, what is your best ever way to give back?
To serve people. What I do is I mentor a lot of people in the business. One of the things I'm going to do in Slocum is teaching commercial real estate as well to impact and create an impact and people that want to build wealth and learn how to invest in commercial real estate.
Nice. Specific to your medical and veterinary real estate investing, Ben, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
I would say the biggest mistake I made is maybe at a time not getting long enough financing on a deal, and markets have changed and interest rates change. But that was a long time ago. I think that's something I've learned. And then also making sure I have flexibility and put low leverage on investments.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for you to say that you struggled with not securing long-term financing a long time ago. Now that we're experiencing the interest rate hikes that we are now, I know a lot of people are feeling that contemporarily in their current investments. On that note, Ben, what is your best ever advice?
My best ever advice is to be the best version of yourself. Work on yourself. Work on that inner game that goes on inside you every day, because that's your biggest competition.
Awesome. Ben, where can people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, that's easy. To see our website, go to alliancecgc.com. They can go to benreinberg.com for more information about me and my personal brand. They can also go to my podcast, Ben Reinberg, I Own It. We have celebrities and ultra high net worth folks from all over the world on our show. Incredible guests. It's just growing like a weed, our show. I'm so excited for it. And then I'll be teaching commercial real estate as well and speaking around the country and even around the world. So feel free to follow me on all the different social media platforms, Instagram. I'm at The Real Ben Reinberg as well. I'm on TikTok, Facebook, you name it, every platform. That's the best way to engage with me. If you're interested in investing in the brand new Alliance Medical Property Fund, go on our website and reach out to us. If you like to build wealth, safe, secure, and profitable returns, there's no better asset class than what we do.
Awesome. And those links are in the show notes. Ben, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.